Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
Turn to Deuteronomy chapters 27 through 30. Actually be turning to Deuteronomy 29 if you wish. Deuteronomy 29. But the context, the overall context of these chapters, that is Deuteronomy 27 through 30, is basically that the cursing and the blessing. And when you first begin to read, if you read these chapters, you see that God separates Israel into two camps on two opposing mountains. One, as the Levites cry out about the law. And remember, the law is also set upon stones that are plastered. And think how long it took them to do this. They wrote every word of this law on that big stack of stones that was plastered. Remember reading that? So here the Levites cry out, blessing and curses. And one group is to say amen to the blessing. And the other group is not told to say, oh, God forbid, for the curse. They are to cry out amen as well. This world is so deceived, especially that which calls itself Christian, that they think God's wrath is an unfortunate consequence of man's sin. God was a God of wrath before man ever even existed.
Amen.
God is a complete whole. He is who He's always been and has never become anything else.
Amen.
And God had wrath before man was ever created or fail.
That's right.
And the book says, what if God willing to show His wrath? He is.
Amen.
And listen, God will be honored in His cursing as He will be honored in His blessing.
Amen. Amen.
But to briefly sum up the context, Israel is told, if you keep this law, and remember, it's keep it all. You don't pick and choose any of it, no matter how insignificant you think it is. If it is concerning birds and their broods and their nests, or concerning thou shalt not kill.
Exactly.
A human being. You don't pick and choose which one you think's more important.
Exactly.
You keep this law, it's what he told Israel, you keep this law, I will bless you in the land. You don't, you got it, I will curse you.
That's what
I'm now let the dispensationalist chew on that for a while.
There you go.
As a matter of fact, as you read this, you will note, if you read it seriously, God says you will be cursed. Israel had spurts of blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they never, ever got away from the curses. Why? Because you cannot keep this law. And Israel never has. And Israel never will.
Amen.
Under law.
That's right.
And neither will you and I.
Amen.
I know. It's sad. It's sad that most people think that God's grace and God's mercy and God's compassion is an emotion.
Yeah.
But it's not an emotion. It is a perfection of God.
Yes.
But so is His wrath and His hatred.
Amen.
So is His wrath and His hatred. Now, Deuteronomy 29, and I just had to mention this one, but I hope I'll tie it in. Look at what verse 29 says. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Now, is that what it says or not? Now, are you going to then practice a self-deception and say, well, then I'm keeping the law? Or can you be honest and say, I cannot keep that law, even if it means I deserve the curse? Yet, so-called Christian religion today is teaching men and women through deception and lies to lie about their keeping of the law. Well, we're not that bad. We're that bad. I said, we're me and you and you.
Yes, sir.
We're that bad.
Amen.
I'm not preaching down. I don't mean to preach down to anyone this morning, but we're that bad. Now, since the secret things not only belong unto the Lord, but since they are secret, then that means I don't even know what they are.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Now, anyone here who's had any kind of education in the English language knows if it's a secret thing, can I deal with it? I remember Henry talking about a fellow come up to him after a message one time and said, well, Pastor, we need to start dealing with some of those secret things. And he said, well, tell me what they are.
Exactly.
Because if it's revealed so you can deal with it, it ain't secret no more. But this lets me know there's some secret things that God has, and it's hands off, folks.
That's right.
It's hands off. And don't even try to figure out what they are, because you'll have your mind on the wrong thing rather than having your mind on what? The things that are revealed.
Amen.
They belong to me. They belong to my offspring. They belong to you. They belong to your offspring. Now let's park on one of those clearly revealed things. Chapter 29 and verse 4. Now yes, I realize that Moses is speaking directly here to Israel. But remember, Paul says in Romans 3, I've proved before we're all under sin. The Jews not better than the Gentile. Well, you know those Jews, you know, they perverted God's law, so do we. God's law is written in our hearts. We know. Now, we don't know all of it, but we know certain things are right and wrong. Whether we do the right and wrong, it doesn't matter. We know certain things are right and wrong.
Exactly.
I mean, you got a man that's a thief, but he don't want somebody, another thief, come along and steal his stuff, does he?
That's right.
Now, does he? Huh? As I said, even the cannibals don't eat their own tribe.
Yeah.
They know you can't exist if you do that. Mm-hmm. You only eat the enemy. Might tick you off. What does he say? Yet, think of that. It says, Moses speaking to Israel. Think of the solemnity of these words. Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. And yet, look at what he had done for them. Delivered them from Egypt.
Yes, sir.
With mighty, miraculous miracles. Let them cross dry shod through the Red Sea, and they seen the Egyptians dead upon the shores behind them.
Sorry.
They walked through the wilderness for 40 years. We're at the end of this 40 years now. And they walked through this wilderness for 40 years, and their shoes and their shirts and their pants didn't wear out.
Exactly.
Now you think that caused anybody to say, I ought to trust this God.
Yes, sir.
Yet, the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. Oh, how solemn those words are. That's my title and my subject. Humanity's One Common Dilemma.
Yeah.
This is all of our one common dilemma. Let's see if I can illustrate this. I'm trying to illustrate it based upon the truth of Scripture. Not all sins, S-I-N-S. Not all sins. When I say that, I mean not all actions that are bad. Not all actions that are wrong. Not all actions that are iniquity. You know what I'm talking about. Not all sins are common to all. Right? Not all sins are common to all. I mean, not every man has to struggle and fight to stay faithful to his wife. There are some men, some women, they can say, stay faithful to their spouse and never have any difficulty with that whatsoever. but they'll lie like a dog.
Yeah.
Right?
You're right.
You got other people that just, they stick that needle in their arm, and this ain't something the doctor prescribed either.
Yeah.
And they just go on and on. And they just, they get hooked on it, and they get stuck with it, and they can't just change it. When they try, when they go to rehab or AA, they have to give them drugs to keep it from killing them just by coming off the drugs.
Yes, sir.
And yet some people have never taken an illicit drug, not one day in their life. But sin, that is the condition, the state, is common to us all. And here we read that one common dilemma. No heart to perceive. No eyes to see. No ears to hear. But perceive, see, and hear what?
There you go.
Someone says the Bible. That's not good enough. It's not good enough. I mean, I've heard people say, they talk about Judas went out and hanged himself.
Yeah.
Well, that's the gospel truth. No, it ain't the gospel truth. The man committed suicide and went to hell.
That's right.
And he was an apostle. He was one of the 12.
Yes, sir.
He preached the gospel. Now, if that don't frighten you some, your profession's out here on the iffy side.
Yeah.
Judas, he was so upright, at least outwardly. Nobody knew what was down in here.
Exactly.
But he was so upright outwardly, the disciples had no, the other 11 had no problem with him being the treasure.
Exactly.
And all along, the book tells us he was a thief and was stealing money from it. Now, you think preachers ain't like that still today?
There you go.
You're looking at one.
Yeah.
You're looking at one.
Yeah.
Because by nature,
exactly,
my heart is as desperately wicked as the next man or woman's.
Yeah. Amen. That's it.
And I do not have that heart by nature.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it. I can't perceive. I can't see. Can't hear. Here's what's important. Somebody said, well, the Bible's important. And you don't have to turn to it. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. This is not my opinion or any other man's opinion. He was speaking to some very religious people, and he says these words, search the Scriptures. And some say it's, he said, ye do search the Scriptures. I actually looked it up in the Greek, and it's right. But it's still, search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life. Here were Bible readers.
Yes, sir.
Some of these men actually made the copies that everybody, if you had one, you got a copy.
Yep.
And they were the ones who made copies for the synagogues. And these were rolls. You know, you didn't go out and buy one Bible with all the Old Testament in it.
That's right.
Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And here it is. And they are they which testify of me.
Amen.
You see, if you don't see Christ in all the books, then you're not seeing what the book's really saying. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to read it, but if you will read chapter 30, verses 11 through 14, did you know that that is Jesus Christ and faith in Him? And yet His name, the name of Jesus Christ, and the word faith is not mentioned one time. But I know it's so because Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, actually quotes it in the New Testament and says this is what it is. It's the word of faith which we preach.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Huh? I thank God I see it now. At one time I didn't see that. But I see it now. Look, let's go on what Jesus said. And they are they which testify of me, and ye will not. That's our problem. The will is connected to what you are inside. If we say it's heart, we know it don't mean the muscle. It's who you are inside. And the will is connected to the heart and the eyes and the ears.
Amen.
And ye what? Will not come to me. People cry, well, your free will is your greatest hope. Your will is your worst enemy.
Yes, exactly.
My will is my worst enemy. And ye will not come to me that you might have life. And I wish I could see this. I wish I could. Oh, I like to think it of myself, but I receive not honor from men. Jesus Christ was not worried about what everybody thought about him. No, sir. But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. They're Bible readers. These were the elite of that day. The most Bible religious people you could find. Moral people who tithed, even down to the mint, the spices in their house. Fasted 3 times a week, 2x a week, 4 times, whatever it was. They did these things. But you have not the love of God in you. That's me by nature.
Amen.
That's you by nature. But I know you that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not.
Yeah.
That don't mean he just used the Father's name. He came under the authority of God the Father and was declaring exactly what God the Father sent him to declare. Without prejudice or deceit.
Exactly.
I hold things back sometimes. Sometimes I say things I should not have said. He never did.
Amen.
When he got angry and planted a whip and hit people with it. Hit people with it. Ran them out of the temple. Turned over their tables with their animals and their money there. And he said, I'm running you out because you've made this a den of thieves. This is my Father's house. It's to be a house of prayer.
Amen.
Sweet little Jesus boy. Huh? This is the Christ of God.
Amen.
I'm coming in my Father's name and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. And by nature, we do that all the time. I remember one pastor saying, we will get on our phones and we will listen to that gal that tells us to turn right at 100 foot. And we'll turn right, not having any idea where we're going. Now, won't we? But this word's been around for thousands and thousands of years. But men will not bow and say, I better trust this. That's how lacking I am of a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear. Oh, look, how can you believe which receive honor one of another? You see, it's not until God Almighty causes you to quit worrying about everybody else.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you start worrying about yourself before God.
Yeah.
Not until then. God ain't done nothing for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I give this example. I won't use the name because I'm not trying to embarrass anybody at the moment. And it's not really embarrassing overall. A person can be in their teenage years and be under the sound of the gospel and make a profession of faith, and it can look real and seem real to everybody else. So real that the pastor of a church baptizes you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But as time goes on, it's nothing more than a profession. And you just live your life as you play. Oh, you couldn't be convinced of anything other than sovereign grace for anything. But you've never had a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear. It's all you've ever had is what you can get naturally. And because she's either brought up in it or you're a very susceptible person, you just decide you're going to believe this too. And maybe nobody can change your mind about it. But until God Almighty gives you a heart to perceive, eyes to see, and ears to hear, you're lost.
Amen.
And if you die in that state, you'll go to hell. I don't care how much truth you profess.
You're right.
How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not that honor that cometh from God? O-N-L-Y. Only. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. He had the right to.
Right.
He is the lawgiver.
Yes, sir.
He's the one Moses was hearing speak when Moses was getting all these words.
Yes, sir.
That we read about in Deuteronomy.
Right.
Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses. What do you mean? Moses been dead for years. He's talking about this Old Testament.
Yeah.
This law. And what's that law do? It accuses you, and it accuses me, and it says, curse, curse, curse.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, God said, if you'll keep this law, I'll give you a heart to perceive, eyes to see, and ears to hear.
Yeah.
But we can't.
Amen. That's it.
You see, when God said that to Israel, I'm sure many of them say, well, I'm going to put forth my best effort. It didn't work.
Right.
It didn't work. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me. Here it is. For he wrote of me.
Amen.
But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?
Amen.
You see, this is what God gives a heart to perceive for. Eyes to see it, ears to hear, is to see the person of Jesus Christ. First, his person.
Yes.
A lot of people believe he was born, virgin born.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lived a good, perfect life. Died, buried, rose again, and went back to heaven. Now, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
They're drunks in the gutter that believe that.
You're right.
Right? Yeah. There's whores selling their bodies for money that believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is that what it's all about? Is to know him. Joseph, to know him. Not just about him, but to know him. But consider this. The sober deacon has the same dilemma as the sodded drunk.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's right.
No heart, no eyes, no ears.
Amen.
Huh?
Yes, that's it.
I mean, God didn't say, you be a deacon, I'll save you.
You're right.
You better hope to God if you're a deacon, he saved you first. Because if he didn't, then you've got double blindness. Now you've got something else to hang on to. I often wonder, am I here? Do I come to this place only because I preach? What if I didn't preach? Would I really be there? Would I get up and make that effort to come every Sunday? Now you sit back there, maybe you can help me with that. But you can't, you've never been here and had to do this. I've done it for 30-some years, David, right? And I wonder, am I here only because of this? It's already been mentioned, Lord, I preached in your name, done many wonderful works in your name, cast out demons in your name. Christ, I didn't know you. You're a worker of iniquity. Get out of here. That's scary. That's scary. Why? Here's why. Because they were building on those efforts and not on Christ Jesus himself. And that is told in the text. Sandy ground. House built on sandy ground.
Yeah.
A rock, a house built on a rock. Every house built on the sandy ground will fall, no matter how beautiful and great that sand is.
Exactly.
You'd be on the picturesque beach, beautiful place, but it's on sand. When the storm comes, it's going to fall, and great will be the fall of it. But if that house is on the rock,
yes, sir.
Let me tell you something. There's going to be some drunks in glory. At least those who've been drunk on this side.
Yeah.
I don't know what God's going to let us do when we get on this side. He did say we're going to drink some wine like we ain't never drunk before.
Yes, sir.
Now, did he not?
Yes.
Now, come on, I'm not trying to encourage anybody to go out and get drunk today, but I'm telling you, he said, this wine and this bread, he said, I'll drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
Amen.
Is that what he said?
Yes.
And we ain't drinking grape juice.
Yeah.
Right. We have the table, we take wine. Why? Because that's what God's people do.
Yes, sir.
There will be a lot of sober deacons in hell wondering what went wrong.
You're right.
Think about this. That church-going elderly lady. You know the one I'm talking about? You see them on TV sometimes. And they're dressed nice. They would not dare wear a dress up to here. You know, up to here. Wouldn't dare. Wouldn't dare do it. Wire sleeves down to here.
Yep.
Have on that nice hat. And they're sitting in the pew and they've got their white gloves on. They've got their Bible open in their lap. And they're praying. And they're reading God's Word.
Yeah.
That woman has the same dilemma as the street prostitute.
Yes, sir.
The same dilemma.
Yeah.
People think if you believe in God, you're moral, you get to go to heaven. That's a lie. Now, you want to hear what Christ said about it? Now, it's His Word. This ain't mine. Matthew 21, if you want to. I'm going to read it if I get no further than this. You see, so-called Christian religion is lying to people today.
Yes, sir.
They think that faith in God and morality gets you to heaven. Everything else makes you go to hell. That's not so.
You're right.
Look at what Christ Himself said. Matthew chapter 21. Let me begin in verse 23 so we can have the context. And he was coming to the temple. It's speaking about Christ. You can read a little further back. You'll see that. And he was coming to the what? The temple. You ever notice Jesus? Remember that there was a woman. Christ was wherever he was. It failed me. But he was doing something, and they knew he was around. Well, they knew there's this one old gal. She liked to sleep around. And they knew she'd be sleeping around. So they went and caught her in the very act. Now, why didn't Christ go stop her from doing that? Do you think he had the power to do that? He could tell the waves were billowing. Peace! Be still. And immediately there was a great call. There was a man that was infested with demons. He was naked, running through the tombs, and they would bind him with fetters and chains. He'd break them. A wild man. Christ came along and tamed him. Now, did he not? He tamed him and set him free.
Amen.
But Christ didn't go stop that gal, did he? He knew what was going on.
Yes, sir.
He knew. And he let things stay like they were. Did he not?
Mm-hmm.
And they called her like they knew they would. And they brought her to him and said, Moses' law. They didn't realize they were speaking to the one that gave it to them. Moses' law said this woman's supposed to be stoned. One thing, if she's in the act, where's the man?
That's right.
They're a bunch of male chauvinist hypocrites is what they were.
Yeah.
But they were not after her.
Yeah.
Go back and read it. They were after him.
That's exactly right.
That's the problem.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what Christ did? He forgave that woman.
Yes, he did.
Right there on the spot.
Yes, sir.
She never cries for mercy. But did not the book sound found to them that sought me not?
Amen.
I was made manifest to them that asked not after me.
Amen.
Anybody here ever been there?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Look, let's read on. It was come to the temple. The chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching. As they interrupted him.
Yes.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
As he was teaching and said, by what authority dost thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? You ever hear everybody say, well, all you got to do, you ask Jesus what you want, he'll give you the answer.
Yeah.
Well, let's look at what happens. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I, and likewise, will tell you by what authority I do these things. I wish I had the prowess to do this. I can't. He could.
Yes.
Remember, he's the one that when people came to arrest him, and they said, well, who are you? He said, I am. And they fell down backwards.
Exactly.
And yet he stood right there till they got back up, arrested him, and took him off to be crucified.
Right.
Look, I'll tell you what authority I do. He said, the baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or from men? And they reasoned with themselves.
Yeah.
Notice they don't go looking at the book.